Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 256.
Hi.
My name is Chris Fricchio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
Yo!
And Mr. Jeff Chorney.
Whoa, guys.
Oh, fuck, sorry.
Good start.
A long weekend.
Yeah.
That was good. Kind of goes in hand with what we're doing. This is kind of unusual for us. We are recording on a Sunday night, and Jason is going to turn around a miracle, hopefully. And
Watch me work. I am the miracle man.
Watch it happen. Today we are going to judge our consoles, or actually our list of exclusive developers.
We don't like developers, to judge, Chris.
I should say. Well, we're going to discuss our picks. And I'm not going to say we're going to try and come to a consensus, because we never will. So... No.
Well, it'd be possible. I was like looking through my, I wouldn't know what to buy.
Yeah, it's hard, but
I'll make room for you too in my industry.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. Before that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and we have not discussed question of the week yet, so we'll see if something happens between now and then. So before we do that, Jason,
yo,
what is up, dude?
Not much, man. It was actually a pretty chill weekend. I played a lot of games, and I got home Friday night, and I'm like, something's strange. I don't have any videos to work on this weekend. So I got home, and I'm like, did I forget
God,
something
at work?
What am
I going to do with myself?
Yeah,
I'm going to play video games.
Free time.
It's been nice. So if you guys don't know, at work there's another video guy, and he handles all, like, mainly the cover story stuff. And we didn't have any videos that we could do for our latest cover story, which is Rockstar's, what's it called? Grand Theft Auto?
Red Dead Redemption?
Something like that. So yeah, we didn't have any videos for
Grand
that because they
Redemption?
Wouldn't let us do
like
videos.
That?
So he's been helping me out with stuff on the side. So I actually had some time to work out some technical stuff that I've been meaning to get to, and made a couple cool breakthroughs. We'll be improving the video quality on a few different things, like some of our older systems and like 3DS stuff.
Nice.
I'm super
cool.
Pumped about this. So.
Nice.
It's been a pretty productive week behind the scenes.
You know what, Jason? If you have any information on easy ways to stream old school stuff, I would be interested in hearing about that.
Let's wrap.
Okay, we'll wrap.
Okay, cool. Offline.
We'll wrap about that tip.
That joint.
Moving on.
Okay.
All right.
Jeff, what about you, man? What's up?
Yeah, not much. Same old, same old. Raptors fucking suck.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they're terrible. What did I do last night? Oh, last night, went out. I did play some games. We'll get that later, but I went out for buddy's birthday last night. So I went to this bar and from my old stomping grounds in Pickering, Ontario. That's where I was originally from. That was fun. And, yeah, that's about it. So today I'm kind of hurting, but I think I'll feel better in about half an hour, probably.
Probably.
Good deal.
I wasn't going to get a drink, but then... Jason twisted my arm before we started recording.
So took a
I
lot
believe the
of
phrase was
too.
Yeah, it took. It was a long conversation.
Took a lot of twisting. I think
all
it
I had to
down
say
to,
was, "Man up, Canuck."
I think it pretty much boiled down to, "Do you work tomorrow?"
Yeah.
No. Okay, I'm getting a drink. Yeah. So cool.
How about you, Chris?
It's been a rough week. Yeah. So last week. I think it would be Sunday of last week, so a week ago today, I happened to bring my son up to put him to bed, normal routine, give him a bath, get him ready, read him a book, blah, blah, blah. So I start giving him, start filling the tub for his bath, and my wife comes up, and she's like, I'm going to take over, there's a leak downstairs. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go downstairs, and I'm looking around in the bathroom, downstairs, and there's water coming out from below the sink. And I'm like, what the hell? So I'm trying to catch that. And then the water comes out of the window. And then it starts dripping from the ceiling. And something fucking happened upstairs where the I don't know if it's I'm not sure how extensive it is, but at least the drain on the tub is now no longer going into the pipe and out of our house.
Shit.
So it was basically just draining on top of the bathroom, the half bath that's downstairs, and it pretty much ruined the ceiling, and it was going down the walls, and that was a lot of water I had to clean up. So Luckily, I caught it in time where it wasn't to the point where it did a ton of damage. And the other bathroom upstairs is okay, so that's good. But I called my homeowner's insurance company. They came out, brought an adjuster, and they wrote me a check. So I got to get it fixed, and hopefully that will be done soon.
Yeah, get that taken care of before it, like, gets moldy or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, but the adjuster came out, and he said he's going to replace the entire ceiling, so that's cool. You know, I appreciate that a lot, but, you know, shit happens when you own a house, so.
Mm-hmm. True that.
The only other thing that I have to report is my dog bit me. So there you go.
What?
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Which one?
So
I'm guessing Cisco.
Which one? Do you have to ask that question? Which one?
Oh, you know.
Yeah. So I was giving my son breakfast, and I was doing the dishes in the morning like I usually do. That's my normal morning routine. And all of a sudden, my son starts crying, and I don't know why. And I'm like, "What happened? What happened?" And he starts going, "Did he take it? Did he take it?" And I'm like, "What happened?" And Cisco had taken his food right out of his hand.
Whoa.
So I put Cisco out of the kitchen. And then I walked over there and I grabbed him by the nose, by the snout. Mm-hmm. And I pointed at him. I said, "No." And then as soon as I let go, he reacted and snapped and he got my thumb.
Oh.
Pretty good too. He actually broke the nail on the top.
Oh, wow.
And broke the skin on the bottom. So I've actually been with limited use of my thumb for the past few days. But it's getting, I mean, it's a lot better now. This is
sucks
like,
for your gaming.
Actually, it didn't affect it. But I'm playing XCOM, so it really didn't affect it for XCOM.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say it was my fault because I'm not delusional like that. My dog should not be biting anyone, period.
No.
But I did antagonize the fuck out of him. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it had to do with food, and anything dealing with food is really difficult with this dog, so. Mm-hmm. But it's getting better, so, yeah.
Sucks to be Cisco right now.
Yeah, Cisco is not, he doesn't get any privileges at all right now. It's like, as soon as Liam sits down in the kitchen, he's out.
So. He's got it easy, man. Some people would have just taken him right in the backyard and, you know, grabbed the shotgun.
Yeah, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. He's overall a good dog, but when food gets involved, you just need to stay, you know, he's just not, he has no control. He has no self-control over it when it comes to food. So.
So he's like me.
That's good. Yeah, pretty much. Okay. But that is it for me. So,
games.
Let's talk about games. We're going to get out of this depressing houses needs work and dog bit owner bite the hand that feeds. And we're going to get into some fun stuff. So Jason, let's start with you. What you got?
I've actually been trying to catch up on, you know, some of the games that I've missed, you know, that might be like, you know, Game of the Year candidates and such.
Yeah, like
because
what?
At work, we started doing our top 50 games and then our
ooh, wow.
Personal lists as well. So let me tell you, you know, it gets kind of stressful during the Indus, like Game of the Year discussions. This was a 9-hour long meeting.
Wow.
At work. Okay.
Yeah, that's lots of crazy.
Lots of heavy debating, and yeah, it was pretty rough and a little stressful at times. But yeah, we burned through that. There were a couple games that kind of came up that I thought was interesting because I hadn't heard of them. One of them is called Gateways, which is like an Xbox Live indie game, and it's only $1. And I mean, basically the premise is like a 2D portal, right?
Okay.
It's a scientist, you know, in like this Metroidvania style. It's kind of like an open world 2D platformer in a way.
Like Fez kind of?
A little bit. And it's portal guns, essentially. The scientist, his lab gets broken into. I mean, the backstory is, you know, whatever. But this is a 2D portal game, essentially. And I tried it out for, about a half hour, 45 minutes tonight, and it just fell in love with it.
Really?
So definitely urge everybody to go check that out if you're into the whole portal thing. Yeah, it's called Gateways. And it's $1 on Xbox Live indie games. Oh, it's on Steam, too. It's like $5 or something like that.
Okay, cool.
So go check that out. Let's see. What else have I been playing? Oh, I tried out that Halo thing.
That Halo thing.
I think it's part of a series. It's like the fourth one in the series. There might be more games. I'm not quite sure.
I think people seem to like that game and they buy it a lot.
That's what I keep hearing. Yeah. Although I'm having a different experience, which is not uncommon, yeah. I guess. And I've talked about that on the show before. It's just, I'm not a big Halo guy, and this one isn't grabbing me either. I get caught up in the multiplayer hype. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like everybody's playing it. Like half my friends list.
Come on,
it's like
Jason.
All
everyone's
Halo
doing
all
it
all the time, and I want to get into it. I just
everyone's
not my
doing
game,
it.
Dude. I don't know. I don't know if it's the controls or what. I feel
just
icky.
You don't really play for the first-person shooters in general, so.
Which is strange because I think on my list this year, like my top 10, yeah. There's going to be like two or three first-person shooters.
Well, Borderlands.
I mean, Borderlands
yeah. is a given,
and then something else. I'm checking out. We're getting advanced copies at work, and I can't say too much about it. But
Call of Duty.
No, actually, Far Cry 3 is.
Far Cry 3. Yeah, I forgot about that one. It's coming up.
Yeah, that's. It's going to be pretty high on my list, and that's really all that I can say.
Oh wow, okay.
It's not coming out for a while, but it's
really good.
We'll put it that way.
Okay, cool.
Played this game called Super Street Fighter 4.
Never heard
of
it.
I played a little bit
with Jeff, yep. Captain Harlock. That was good times.
That was fun, actually.
We started talking about how we don't play cross Tekken, and we
yes.
are wondering why we don't.
Yeah.
And we don't have a real good reason for that.
No, we don't, actually.
Because the game is fun, and it's got a bunch of new characters, and we should get back to that soon.
Yeah, I think we should as well.
Because it's a spinoff, and spinoffs never do as well as the original.
I think it's... Yeah. I don't know, Jason and I, like, we seem to really like it. Like, I know some people used to play it with, like, they've already dropped the game, like, totally. But I think ever since I got Street Fighter on PC, it kind of got me back into Street Fighter again. I haven't gone back to Street Fighter Cross Tekken since then.
Gotcha.
And one of the main reasons is because we've just been playing Street Fighter, and every time it just happens, we've never been like, hey, let's play some Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
Right.
But I'd like to play it again. It's been a while.
I definitely would too, yeah. And in defense of that game, I think it's a really good game, especially for like a first offering.
It.
But man, there was so much community backlash because...
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, man, Capcom pulled some pretty douchey stuff with the on-disc DLC and, you know, all the gem stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's the biggest complaint that I hear from people is with the gems.
Yeah.
Because it basically makes things a little unfair.
No, it doesn't really, you know, it's a minor part of the overall experience, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, but people really focus in on that. And
yeah,
you know, internet people are internet people.
Pretty much.
Fuck those guys.
They're not real people.
I'm trying to think of what the hell else I've been playing. Oh, finally got to Torchlight 2.
Okay.
Amazing fucking game. And I dare say that they did Diablo better than Blizzard did Diablo. And yeah, if I'm going to rank anything on my list, you know, as far as, you know, Diablo style games, I'm going to put Torchlight above Diablo. I will say that. As much as I played Diablo and loved that experience for the most part. Yeah, having a way better time with Torchlight 2.
Now, why would you say that? Why is that?
I'll tell you when we talk about our Game of the Year stuff. How about that?
All right.
Dude, that's like a month and a half away.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's so...
Yeah, we usually do it in January, right? End of January.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well,
I mean, is it just because the loot works better, or is it... You know, do you think it's a better game?
I think it's a better game overall. I like the freeform skill tree system. You know, where Diablo,
I like
you're kind of locked, whereas in Torchlight 2, you can kind of pick and mix all over the place. So, you're not locked into like a particular build. And that was definitely a focus of the first Diablo, especially once you got into some of the later difficulty levels. You know, you had to be spec'd right in order to survive Inferno. You know what I mean? And, you know, I haven't reached endgame in Torchlight 2, so I can't really speak to that. But, you know, just the fact that they're giving me the option to choose skills from all of the trees is a definite, I don't know, bonus to me. I like that. But, you know, the overarching view, I guess, is, you know, it's really, really cool that they've got offline play as well. I can get behind that. And maybe I'm giving that a little bit too much credit, you know, but... I'm just really, really angry about the way that Diablo handled things. So maybe Torchlight 2 is getting more of a pass than it should.
See, my thought about when I played... I mean, I haven't played a lot of Torchlight 2, so I can't really comment a whole lot. But when it came to like how tight the control was and like how well it played, I felt like Diablo still did it better. But when it came to the satisfaction of getting new shit all the time, Torchlight does that better.
Okay.
That's my feeling. But, I mean, like, the gameplay thing, it's not that far off. You know, there's some refinements that are there that Diablo has that Torchlight doesn't. But, you know, from an overall perspective, they're relatively close.
Indeed.
But, yeah.
Either way, I mean, to go, you know, head-to-head against, you know, the granddaddy of, you know, that is Blizzard.
Exactly, yeah.
And to come out, you know, standing toe-to-toe is a feat in and of itself, so.
It is. Well, so yeah, Torchlight is made by, it's made by some of the original guys who did Diablo 1 and 2, right?
Yeah, Runic's, compromise of, some old Blizzard devs and some dudes that worked on a game called Fate. I know I've talked about this on the show before. Very, very similar to Torchlight, actually. So it's been several different iterations over the years, but I think they really, really nailed it in these past couple ones. So fun stuff. I'm trying to think of what the hell else I've played. So, yeah, I talked about that and that and that. Oh, Mark of the Ninja!
Oh, finally.
Oh, right.
Oh, you played it before, though, didn't you?
No, I mean, just briefly, but that's the thing, is, like,
I haven't played that. Damn it.
You can have Game of the Year stuff. That's going to be right up there on my list.
I need to play that before we get there.
It's, I think it's going to be in my top five, if that's saying anything.
Wow.
I think it will be in mine, too, actually.
I love it an awful lot. You know, and I played it briefly when it first came out, and I'm like, I cannot wait to get back to this. Yeah, I had other stuff going on at the time, but now I finally do, and I'm so in love with it. Such a good game.
Good shit. It's so good. Everyone needs to play. No one,
please, go get it.
I think only one other person, I think Scott and myself, Scott from the Goo, is the only other person on my friends list who's played that game.
Really?
It's so disappointing.
Yeah. We need, it's campaign time, man. We got to tell people.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark of the Ninja. Yeah. Seriously, one of the best games this year.
And how that didn't make Summer Arcade, I have no idea. Like, Microsoft is stupid.
It didn't seem like the Summer Arcade was packed with good stuff, besides Dust.
Dust was really quite good, but
I agree.
A lot of furries in that game.
A lot of furries, that's true.
I seem to notice that.
It was still a good game.
Well, I mean, that's a lot of other video games are furries and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just people decided to pick on it. I don't get why. Everyone's like, the guy who made it must love furries. It must be a furry. No. Like,
there's
a million other games.
I never really thought of it like that. But, yeah. I mean, it honestly, like, playing it, it didn't even register to me that it was a furry type thing. So,
I like to make fun of it just to, make fun of furries. But I love the combat in that game.
It's really fun. It's really fun.
So good. I pretty much that's it, which is a lot for me. So it was a little bit of a lot of titles.
Gotcha.
That's good.
But I want Jeff to talk about this Halo stuff.
The Halos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Halos, of course, day one. I was actually afraid because I ordered it online. It was one of those things where I was like, if I don't get it day one, the next day it'll be fine. But, of course, the days leading up to it, especially, like, the day before, I was like, I better get it on Tuesday or else I'm going to, like, be so pissed off. But luckily, just as I was leaving for work, as I opened the door, the delivery guy's there. I'm like, yes, my Halo. Yeah. And I didn't go to work on Wednesday, so that was fun, too. But, yeah, I'm impressed, actually, by 343. I think we talked about Diablo or Torchlight out Diabloing Diablo, like Blizzard. I think they out Haloed Bungie, to be honest. Like,
I keep hearing that.
I finished the campaign today. I can say without a doubt it is my favorite campaign in the entire Halo series.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it's really good. It might be the shortest. It is a little bit on the short side, I found, but I thought it was overall better. They did a better job of telling a story.
So it's only twice as long as Call of Duty then, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it is it's definitely about 8 hours. I don't even know if it is even 8 hours. It's somewhere between, like, I'd say 7-8 hours probably. But first thing I notice, I don't know if Bungie was afraid or not, but to even try too hard, but this game looks way better than any other Halo game ever made. Like, by leaps and bounds. It's funny. Like, I was just like, I was impressed by Reach, but Reach is still kind of like, there was a little bit of a jump in the fidelity of the graphics from 3 to Reach, but this is like, it almost looks like it's on a totally different console, like, or a totally different engine, which apparently it's not. It's just like a advanced engine, the one that they've been using, or Bungie's been using.
Do you think the fact that they changed up the art style a little bit lends to?
I think that has something to do with it. Yes. Okay. I love the new art style. The Covenant now aren't like glowing red and blue and purple. Like, they still have those colors in their armor, but there's a lot less of it. and they have like actually have their skin now isn't like a bluish or purple color. It's now kind of like a scaly kind of beige sort of thing. So
it's definitely less of like a cartoony.
Yeah,
I've been hearing a lot of it looks like Halo just with less neon. That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot less neon, but it's the lighting is just friggin' phenomenal. There's like, everything casts shadows and like has crazy like glow effects and particle effects everywhere. It looks really good. It's honestly, I'd say it's up there, easily up there with Killzone 3 and Crysis 2 in terms of visuals. And that's the first time I could say that about a Halo game, probably since Halo 2, that it's actually one of the best looking games on the platform, easily.
Okay.
So that's why it's out of the way. They added it for multiplayer. I was kind of worried because they kind of were going to go kind of Call of Duty-ish with like loadouts and you have to open up perks and stuff as you level up. But rest assured, it works with Halo very, very well. And you open up the important stuff quickly, like the weapons. Like you don't get to pick a DMR or a battle rifle right from the beginning, which are pretty much the go-to starting weapons in any Halo game. But you open them up really, really quick and then you start customizing perks and stuff. You'll get stuff that adds a little bit more shields or gives you like a damage boost or... everyone has sprint now, which is good. So everyone can run. So it makes the game
faster. Yeah, I'm really happy about that too. It's just automatically mapped. You've got it. It's not a perk. I like that.
Yeah, and it speeds up the game very much. Like it's doesn't feel it makes Philo hey Philo it makes Halo
feel
this gen. Like it doesn't feel like you're going back and playing an old but still fun game with a little bit more of a touch up in graphics. It's like it actually feels like they improved it, and now like if people who might not have liked Halo before, the gameplay wise, might like this one actually more, especially if they like Call of Duty or Battlefield type games. Some people aren't liking it. I mean, some of the crazy Halo diehard people are like, that's what made Halo Halo, was not having all those perks and not having all these like weapons and stuff you have to unlock. But I mean, at some point you got to kind of get with the times, and I mean, it'd be kind of ridiculous to say that it's not like Halo wasn't popular enough to compete with those games, because it definitely was, but it definitely needed a change. I think 343 took that plunge and did something that Bungie was afraid to do, and that was change up the gameplay quite a bit to actually make the game still similar, but still a lot different. But right. I'm really impressed by it.
It's so nice to see a developer, you know, take over, you know, the reins of such a heralded franchise and actually take risks with it and make changes to gameplay. Mm-hmm. I think they did a pretty good job.
They succeeded. I thought they knocked it out of the park. Like it's the first time when after I finished the campaign today, I put about, I'm gonna say only about 10 hours of multiplayer so far, which isn't too much. But speaking of game of the year, it might be the first time that might be in my actual overall game of the year list, not just my 360 list for game of the year. I really love it. I freaking love it. The only complaint I have right now, it's not even a complaint, is I think there's might be too many guns in the multiplayer. To the point where it's kind of hard to read what the other players are using, and
that kind of pain.
Yeah, because like you know, like this, before you'd have like your two starting weapons and there'd be like maybe three power weapons on the map, and this there's a three power weapons on the map. Then you get the Ordnance Drops, which is really cool. Ordnance Drops multiplayer kind of work like kill streaks did in Call of Duty, but they don't count kill streaks or deaths. So it's basically just the points. Once you get a certain meter fills up, you get an Ordnance Drop, which basically gets you a randomized choice of three weapons that aren't on the map. So it might be like a Promethean shotgun, which is just ridiculous, or like two extra grenades, but then you just click one of the directional buttons and then it'll just basically comes from the sky and gets delivered to you. And that you'll get that no matter what. Even if you die, that Ordnance Drop will still be there if you haven't used it yet. So it's got those kind of things, so you don't have to feel like you have to go on like this crazy killing streak to get them. You just get them for getting points, and you get points now for assists. You get points now for distracting people. Like, even if you're just getting shot at and someone else kills the guy that was shooting at you, you'll get points for that.
Yeah, the point system's changed an awful lot, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. You get points now for doing like a lot of stuff, so a lot of the teamwork stuff and not co-op games, but objective-based games. You don't have to just be like a killing machine and to get your points and level up, which is kind of cool.
Another thing about the maps is like there's random spawn points for the weapons, right?
Yeah, they'll have random spawn points, as well as they'll have timed ordnance drops as well that aren't controlled by players. So just randomly there'll be like an ordnance drop will just drop somewhere on the map with like a rocket launcher or something. That's a big change. Yeah, so it's like it could change the tide of who's winning that round. It's kind of cool. With an end, that's
not only thing. Not only that, but it makes it a little bit easier for people who aren't like intimately familiar with the maps, you know, and the spawn points, because people would just camp those areas and make my day hell.
That's exactly what I did. They want to get camping, like, basically, they want to minimize. Minimize isn't a word. Minimize.
There you go.
But yeah, it's, I am impressed. Oh, so I should talk about Spartan Ops really quick too. That's at the new co-op mode that kind of took place of the firefight mode, which they're going to release 5 missions every week for the next 10 weeks. So what's called a season. The first season comes free with the game, and I'm sure if they have season 2, 3, whatever, those might be paid for. But basically, you get it's a pretty freaking awesome. The CG in this game is amazing, like really, really good. Like,
it is really,
yeah, like Blizzard, Squeenix quality, and it'll first episode of Spartan Ops will open up with one of these CG episodes, and then you play these 5 missions, which are all going to be kind of different takes on different kind of missions you play in the main campaign, like just like defend this area, kill this many enemies, and you can play that co-op up to 4 people, and that was kind of cool. I like how they're doing that for free, so every week will be a new CG movie plus 5 new levels. And it's like its own separate story for co-op, which is pretty awesome. Another thing 343 did right, and I don't know how Bungie could never get this right, but they could not get their netcode down with co-op. Like, when you played a Halo game co-op in any of the other previous games, it was pretty much always laggy with 4 people.
Hmm.
Like, 3 or 4 people, you get some lag of some sort, especially in Firefight or whatever. But this, they nailed the netcode and the co-op stuff too, so kudos.
Awesome.
It's in good hands, Halo fans. Yeah. 343 is definitely risen up to the occasion, and they're going to be around for a while. But yeah.
Good deal.
Cool shit. I like it. Love it. Halo's back. Yay.
Yay.
That's all I've been playing, though. That's seriously like it. That and the Street Fighter we played on Thursday.
Okay, cool.
Chris?
Well, I've only got a couple games to talk about. The first one is Ragnarok Odyssey. Mm-hmm. That I picked up for the Vita, which I'm really enjoying it. So Ragnarok Odyssey is it's very much a Monster Hunter clone, but it is more approachable than Monster Hunter is, I think.
That's fair. Yeah.
So far, I'm you know, some of the bigger differences is that your characters do actually level up to an extent, but the level up is that each chapter that you complete, you get like bonuses. You basically get a level up for each chapter you complete. But it's very much like a similar style, like the way you move about the map and the way it loops, the way it plays. There's a few things that are kind of weird. Like I'm actually playing a hunter who uses a bow and arrow, and she can't fire up at enemies, which is really weird.
Even if you're locked on.
Yeah, even if you're locked on to them, you can't fire up at enemies. I mean, it does, but only like a very small angle, so it's really pointless. You have to jump in order to shoot things that are in the air, which it kind of completely defeats the purpose of using,
to an extent. Character like that.
It defeats one of the purposes of using a hunter in the first place. You know, outside of that, that's really the only major thing that I've had a problem with. Everything else seems to be, you know, it plays really well. I like the card. They have this card system. So like, instead of getting new armor and everything, you expand the armor that you have, and you can add cards to it. And each of these little cards will give you stat bonuses. So, like, one of them may say that you get an attack bonus, but there might be a negative on the other side. Like, you get an attack bonus, but your HP decreases or something like that. So you can really it makes it easy to mix and match for your playstyle, which I think is I really liked. There's not a whole lot of variety of the weapons that I've seen so far. There might be in the, you know, closer to the end game, but like all the weapons that I pick up, they all look the same. So that's a little disappointing because of how exotic all the weapons are in a game like Monster Hunter or in Phantasy Star Online or Phantasy Star Universe. So, maybe that's just like, maybe later in the game that kind of stuff comes out, but, you know, right now I'm not seeing it. And, you know, there's a lot of character classes for people that are interested in trying out new stuff. And you can switch on the fly pretty much after, I think it's...
After a certain point. Yeah, like after chapter two, three
or something like that. After you finish that mission, you get to switch, classes on the fly to try out different classes and that kind of thing. So
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I've tried the assassin who gets to dual wield, these
Katars?
Yeah, like something like that. But they're basically like triangular blades. And she gets to dual wield those. Really cool moves with that, but super squishy. And there's some places on the maps, like especially the first map, there's one particular area where you're very confined and you can't really move around very well. So like I would walk into that room and there's like the first extra mission is you have to take down like this huge bear, and you walk into that room and there's that huge bear and like four little ones, and they just basically surround you and there's nothing you can do and you die. And that's pretty much my experience with the assassin. but there's like a priest, and there's, you know, there's a ton of other ones, but, you know, I would suggest to anybody who has a Vita that wants that PSU or Monster Hunter style game, this is a good stopgap until PSO2 comes out.
That's exactly what I was going to say, actually. I don't think it's a great game by any means, but stopgap is definitely the term that I would use.
Yeah, it's not going to blow your mind or anything, but it is fun to play. And I haven't actually played multiplayer yet. That's the only thing that I'm missing out on. So I'm hoping to get some of that in this week sometime, so we can talk about it later. Jason, you're playing it, right?
Yeah, a little bit, and I wasn't nearly as impressed with it as you were. I really do not like the combat, but after talking with a couple of people, it seems like it's definitely geared more towards multiplayer. Simply because, you know, the attack strings that you do, very, very long animations, and you can't really like change the direction that you're facing when you do that. For a lot of the characters, actually.
Yeah. I know that the hunter has a string that I use a lot where she'll fire one arrow. I'll use like there's the basic attack and like the special attack or something like that, and I'll fire a regular arrow, then the special will fire three more, and then I'll fire another regular arrow, and then I'll hit special twice, and the first time it'll shoot down on the ground and launch everyone into the air, and the next time using special
control.
And it just rains down arrows. It takes a long time to get out, but it's great for crowd control and just getting guys off you. So, yeah.
Not everybody has that, though.
No, I agree.
That's kind of the issue. And, you know, especially if you start an animation, like, you know, you said, like, the third part of that string is, like, the, you know, the ground area attack where it knocks them up in the air.
Right.
If you miss with that, you know, you're still, like, highly vulnerable.
You can't cancel out
or dodge and anything. I think it would be great, you know, in, like, a multiplayer setting, you know, where other people are hitting those enemies at that time.
Yeah.
But it's really, really frustrating when you start the attack and it's like, oh, this is clearly going to miss.
And that's the
thing.
And
you can't cancel out
of
it.
You can't cancel out and dodge. And that's one of the big flaws, I think, in the combat.
It's sloppy. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't feel good to me. But in a multiplayer setting, maybe it'll work better.
Maybe. So. Maybe.
I want to try that.
Yeah, I want to try it too. So maybe we can get something like that going with maybe Felicia and John, because I know they're playing it too. And John loves it. So John has played the shit out of it so far. So.
John loves everything that he buys.
True enough.
Yeah. I think he tries very hard to justify every purchase he makes. I'm just saying. I love you, John.
The other game that I've been playing a lot of is XCOM.
Yeah,
and the more I play it, the more I love this fucking game.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It's just, it's so good. I am enjoying it so much, and I get like a major sense of satisfaction when, as weird as it sounds, when research items complete and you get new stuff you can build, and you build new facilities inside your base and launch satellites, and all that shit is so satisfying for some reason. And but you know. One of the things I wanted to do is where I am right now is there's like a specific mission where you actually go after an alien base and you need like a skeleton key, and that's where I'm at right now. So I've only gotten paid twice, so like I've had 2 months roll over, and the third one is coming up. But you know, one of the things I love is how they treat the characters that you have in the game, like the soldiers. And what I mean is, like, I've really liked some of the nicknames that the game gives the characters. Like, so, you know, the first guy I got, the in the tutorial mission and from the demo, you know, the one guy that survives the first demo mission, that was me. I made that my character. He is now a major and his nickname is Nova. Then there's Jeff, who is, I made a support. And let me tell you, man, support is the class in this game.
They're
for me.
Good.
They are awesome. Like they do fucking everything. I mean, Jeff is my scout. He like he's got like the perk that gives him like three extra steps for each move. And he just like goes over and hides in cover and, just spots everything. And dude, you've got like 14 kills. And, I think your nickname was the Shield, which I think is awesome. That's a fucking awesome nickname. Let me see. The Hardmans.
You can change those too if you want.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to because I like what they. I like how the game.
I've only
puts
changed
them.
A couple of them.
The Hardmans are both snipers. I made one of them the running gun where you can actually move and shoot, and then I made so that was Serena. I made Chris the one that has the squad sight. So now I've got like kind of the best of both worlds. Serena, her nickname was Checkmate, which is really cool. And then Chris, I think, was Longbow, which is perfect for him. And then Jason, you are one of my assaults. And
nice.
One of the things about the assaults is that I actually thought they were kind of the weakest class until I realized that they could use more than just the damn shotgun, because the shotgun fucking sucks in this game.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I gave you a light plasma rifle, and you are fucking killing it now. And you're the cowboy. That's your nickname, which I think is funny.
I am so a cowboy.
My other assault is Chibi Knight, who is John, and his nickname is Tombstone because he seems to be in the medic more than on the field at this point.
I get it.
And I think that is everybody on my squad except for Jason, the first other support that I made was Keisha because the person that came up, I was like, that looks kind of like Keisha, and I made her my support, and her nickname is Vita. I'm not sure where that came from, but
strange.
She is the highest ranking next to my heavy. So,
sexy.
Yeah, and but yeah, I mean it's going great. I'm loving this game. I think it's awesome. I did have some trouble with there was one particular mission where you had to rescue a bunch of citizens, and that one was kind of annoying.
The terror missions.
Yeah, one of the terror missions. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that very much. But, you know, I got through it. I think it was like they basically introduce you to, oh, look, here's a zombie. We just showed him to you, and now he's going to walk up to you and do 8 damage. It's like, fuck you. So that was...
Chrysalids are a bitch.
Yeah. Chrysalids are a bitch, yes.
Suck.
So after I didn't have any problem killing the chrysalids. I killed them, no problem.
Okay.
It was that fucking... It was the civilian that they killed that came back and got to a zombie and walked up to me and did 8 damage.
They're a constant threat.
And it was like... That was one of those missions that was like, all right, I'm restarting this because that's kind of shitty. And I start... That's the one mission that I started over. Everything else has been pretty much, you know, I take what I get.
But, that's cool.
Really cool game. I love it. I actually would rather be playing right now than podcasting. But no, I'm just kidding. Okay.
Let's do that. Fuck it.
We're just going to go play some XCOM.
Everybody.
Thank you very much. No, okay. But that's it for me. So let's talk about some news. There's not a whole lot, but there's a couple things that we might want to touch on.
All right.
So, Jason, you had the first one. Do you want to talk about that?
I did not know anything about me reading any news, I overheard some stuff about Valve releasing, not releasing, they are developing the next Source Engine, which is big news in and of itself because the Source Engine has been used in so many different Valve games and so many awesome games, and that's all the news I have on that because I wasn't prepped.
Sorry, there's not a whole lot other than that, but they basically said that they're making another Source Engine. It's more of like an extension of what's there. And a lot of, you know, of course, a lot of the, Half-Life 3 is going to come out is going to go around with this. So
I think it's
maybe
pushed, if anything. They're developing a new engine. They're like, obviously you have to build a game on that engine. So
yeah. Yeah. So,
I am still so, like, absolutely excited for the fact that, like, they're working in Linux development.
Oh, and yeah, and that's awesome of them. They're, like, spearheading that shit now because of how much they hate Windows 8. They're basically spearheading Linux gaming development, and, you know, I'll be honest with you, if all the games that I have on Steam all of a sudden become available on Linux, on the Steam version of Linux, I'll freaking reformat my game box, my game array, and drop Linux on it.
Now what if they actually released, like, a console of sorts? Just like a Linux box, you know, with the Steam Big Picture mode, and had a majority of their games available. That could be pretty cool.
I think we talked about that recently.
I'm just saying. I still want it to happen.
Well, I mean, I think it is.
Really bad.
I think it is.
Anyway.
We'll see. The other thing that happened this week, which is I didn't see coming, so Silicon Knights lost their battle, their epic battle. See what I did there? That's been going on since 2007, I think it's when it started.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while.
Since before Two Human was
out. Yeah, they were told that they needed to pay $4.5 million in damages and basically had to recall all unsold copies of all of their games that use the Unreal Engine and destroy them.
Yeah.
And for those that are counting, that's Two Human, X-Men Destiny, The Sandman, which I'm not familiar with that, The Box Ritualist, and I'm not sure about that one, and Siren in the Maelstrom. So
all of which probably should have been burned as soon as you bought them.
I was going to say, for those counting, none of those games are actually good. So,
hey, I played through Two Human. I'll admit that. I played through Two Human.
I know you did.
But, yeah, so this does not go very well for Dennis Dyack and his team. But I just think it's with that said, there's
Let's be
so
honest,
much
only me ever made two good games in their entire career, I guess.
Which ones were those?
Eternal Darkness and the first Blood Omen Legacy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually liked their port of Metal Gear Solid.
Twin Snakes.
Yeah,
and
that was
Snakes.
Actually pretty good too, yeah. That's like not
what they did with it.
Yeah.
The one thing I was going to say about this is, with the way the industry is killing off developers right now, I don't care what developer it is. I don't like seeing this kind of story, you know, because it's like, this is basically going to lead. I have a feeling this is going to lead to the closing of Silicon Knights. I don't think that they're going to be able to survive very long after this.
No.
So, I guess
survival of the fittest.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And apparently they are not the fittest. Mm-mm. But that is all I've got. So, Jeff, did you have anything else?
Nah, nothing, man. There was not much this week.
Yeah, that's most of it. Hey, we have one of those. Sony Smash Brothers reported that their boss is going to be Polygon Man, which is something that never released for the original PlayStation.
That could be like a who the
fuck is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Cool. All right. Well, that is your news. So let's take a break.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to come back and we're going to do a little talking about the exclusive developer list that we came up with last week. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and we'll talk about question of the week over the break and see if we have anything for you. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up. And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Jason, welcome back.
It's good to be back.
It is good to be back. Hey, let's talk about our consoles.
Sure.
I want to do
Unistrike.
I want to do that. We got a few emails, so I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Jason and let him talk about what the listeners thought.
Well, let's recap. What do you say?
That sounds good.
Sure.
So, yeah, last week we had a kind of a fantasy dev draft
fantasy
of sorts.
Dev draft.
Where all of these developers would be exclusive to our console, right? So it's just a completely fantastical, you know. I mean, hypothetical. It would never actually happen in real life, but in our
not a chance.
Anyway, so here are the picks that each of us had. So Chris had Blizzard, Epic, Nintendo, EA Sports, Konami, Level 5, Criterion, and Sucker Punch.
Mm-hmm.
I had Silicon Knights, so I could fire Dennis Dyack, PopCap Games, Gearbox, Rockstar, Capcom, Valve, Rocksteady, and Insomniac. And then Jeff had Infinity Ward, 343 Industries, Platinum, Sony Santa Monica, Bethesda, 2K Irrational, Naughty Dog, and Arxis. Is it Arxis or was it Arc System Works?
Arc System
Works. There we go. So yeah, we had some emails. This one's from Jeff of the J. Is that Better Tomorrow, right?
That is Better Tomorrow.
There we go. He says, oh, so here I thought I missed out on getting a response to your question on time, and I find out your recording is later. Yes. So then I guess I will go ahead and reply. I must say there was quite a fascinating discussion, and in the end, a tough choice to make from a consumer perspective. However, after considerable thought, I decided I would have to buy the Unistrike. Yeah! As that would be my choice if I want to play Half-Life Episode 3 one year. P.S. Jason, make that happen since you now own Valve. You got it, buddy. You have all strong lineups, but I would actually bet that the Goffy Box sells the most units. Too many people have Call of Duty and Halo monies to burn. That's so true. All this said, in the end, BioWare is still making cross-platform Mass Effect, so any of the consoles is a win. Adios for now. Jeff with a J.
Thank you, Jeff.
Well, the thing is that there wouldn't be the multi-platform, right?
For BioWare, there would be. You know, none of us chose BioWare, so they would be multi-platform.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, that totally works. I can't say that I would have Valve churning out Episode 3 right away. I still harken back to that I want them to make all their Steam games available on my platform, though. So.
Mm-hmm.
Just let them run the online service for your platform. That would just work better.
That works for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Gabe can do kind of what he wants, I guess. And I'm okay with
Gabe,
that.
Gabe, you can run shit. That's fine.
I think he works better without a lot of hands-on.
I
don't
think Gabe and run should go in the same sentence.
Gabe, you can walk shit. How about that?
Rascal shit.
There you go.
Next email?
Yeah.
Go
all right,
it.
Hey guys, Jake G92 here. Which console should I buy, or would I buy? It is without a shadow of a doubt the Shino, or the Unistrike, or the Goffy. Oh, fuck. Why did you all have to be so broad? See, Shino had EA Sports. I need my FIFAs. Unistrike had Rockstar and Gearbox. I need my Red Dead and Borderlands. But Goffy has Infinity Ward, and I need my Call of Duty. If only one of you had picked Treyarch, that would have been my guaranteed purchase.
That's
I told you.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to be honest. I think I'm going to go with the Goffy.
Yeah.
I don't think I could go on without Call of Duty, Vanquish, God of War, and Uncharted. But I could go on for ages and debate. Can I just buy them all? On
Smiley
Face?
Oh, you definitely can.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
We just asked what you knew you'd buy first.
Make us all rich.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Who was that? JG?
Yeah, that was JG92.
Yeah, JG92.
So,
JG92.
Jeff has a sale.
Jeff has a sale.
You have
a sale.
You have a sale.
Sweet. This one's from Greg. Who is this again?
Schnabels?
Greg Schnabel.
Southern Coyote.
Right?
There we go. Hey, Indiscrew. Whose console sells the most worldwide? Whose console would I buy first? Both of these are easy for me. The Shino console. Why?
Wow.
Both for the same reason. Nintendo. Insert fanboy remark here. There are enough old school Nintendo fanboys and fangirls out there that would buy a console with Nintendo software and none of the Nintendo gimmicks. And we all know Chris would never allow the gimmicks in his console.
That's right. That's right.
That is true.
And like I said, when you were discussing the Wii U, of course I'm going to buy it. Where else am I going to get my Zelda, Mario, and Metroid love? Really good point. True. I mean, yeah. Nintendo arguably makes some of the best like first party stuff.
Hey, I'm just saying. I know I said that I wasn't going to do numbers here, but I'm just saying. Mario Kart for the Wii sold 32 million copies worldwide. Just saying.
That's a lot.
Just saying.
That's a lot. I can't blame you for that. Anyway, Sean Recupido.
Did you finish?
Did he say
who he thinks going to say? I think he said yours is going to sell the most and he's going to take yours, I think.
Yeah, there's a end of it, unless you said this and I missed it. Oh,
completely missed. Yeah, it's on the second page. Sorry. So yeah, back to his. May I have one request, oh great and powerful Shino? Can I have a new F-Zero game and new Wave Race game, please? Have a great show.
Wave Race.
Really?
Wave Race 64 was so good. I liked it.
You could put that in a mini game like Nintendo Land.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wave Race does not need a full game. that's on downloadable service.
I don't know. I love the first one. I don't think I played the second one.
F-Zero would definitely get a new entry.
Interesting.
I'm
one,
surprised
one made by me. Someone who's really good at racing games like Criterion. Oh, I have
oh,
them too.
Snap.
Yo, what?
Just saying. Sorry.
All right, this email's from Sean. Since I'm addicted to FIFA, I really would have no choice but to buy Shino's console.
That's two.
My favorite genres are sports racing, shooters, and action games. Well, EA makes the best sports games. Criterion makes the best racing games. Infamous is one of the best action games on the market. And Epic makes pretty damn good shooters that I could live with in the absence of Halo and Call of Duty. Which console would sell the best? That would probably be a toss-up between Shino and Goffy. It really comes down to who buys more consoles between sports fans and Call of Duty / Halo fans. Sorry, Jason. I think you lose on this one. Seriously, you chose Insomniac over 343 or Infinity Ward? Who am I kidding, though? I would probably buy them all. You can't keep me away from Halo, Call of Duty, and Uncharted.
That's valid. That's valid.
Mm-hmm. Next email from Jake Gray. I don't know if you covered...
Wait. That's the end of question of the week.
That's it?
That's it.
All I get to
question
of the week?
We gave people like 4 extra days, and they only sent 4 emails.
Oh, wow.
I was going to actually read one entry off of the board, but I can't
but
get,
can't
to, the
get
board.
To the board. Yeah,
and that was that entry was actually coming from the person who sent us this information.
Oh, okay.
He said mine would win as well. So
of course he did, Chris.
That's convenient.
It's convenient. Yeah. I can't get to it right now.
You should check the email again because I just heard from MC Wilson that he just sent his.
I know,
stuff.
And I see it. It is here in my Gmail box. I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. No prep on this, so let's see what this is. Dear Indus, a few months back, I sent you guys an email defending my decision to purchase a Wii U at launch. I'm writing again, advising all of you to disregard everything I wrote back then. I am now hoarding all of my dollars in anticipation of the 3 new hardware platforms being released next year. I love the way he sets shit up when he sends his emails, man. Never before have I seen anything like this in the industry. 3 new players entering the market simultaneously, each with an incredible lineup of developers.
I know, right?
Of the 3, the Unistrike has been hogging the media spotlight as of late with this controversial and strangely... where was I? I lost
I'm guessing
my...
he's taking a jab at Silicon Knights. We said Jason stealing the media. That's where he left off.
No, he's stealing it with his controversial and strangely vitriolic tagline, "Fuck you!"
Nice.
Not to mention the company's instance on advertising Silicon Knights as an exclusive developer. According to the recent Kotaku article, only 4 people currently work at Silicon Knights, one of them
That's
who
hilarious.
Recently updated his LinkedIn profile as needing a new job title, Incinerator Administrator. Oh, that's God. That's awesome. Wow. I am sorely tempted by the Goffy. The most recent pre-order figures indicate that this is going to be the biggest seller, partially because it's the only one that has, of the three consoles, where you'll be able to play Irrational's forthcoming BioShock again. It will feature 343's Halo 4 expansion, Halo 4S.
Nice.
Though I'm not sold on their intent of, on replacing the standard controller input with voice commands. I did play the demo at Fry's last week, and I admit, I was surprised that the game could understand complex voice commands like, turn 90 degrees to the left while looking up 6 o'clock, and then shoot.
Everything's better with Goffy Box, I guess.
Good.
However, it is the Shino that is going to get my money. Nintendo's making games for it, which is unprecedented. Criterion is bringing their lineup to the system, including the forthcoming Need for Speed Most Wanted disambiguation. And though the partnership with Google at Shino included the Google Play Store. Oh, okay. That's news to me. enabled access to all games I currently own on Android. Great games such as... I'm curious as to which these two consoles. I hope I portrayed that well with the way I read it. I'm curious to as to which of these new consoles would be the most attractive to your listeners. Hoping to hear more about the next in the next episode. Best, MC Wilson.
Thank you,
MC. Thanks, he sets his shit up so well, man.
Yeah.
I love
surprising
that.
He just did that like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I seriously, guys, he sent us a tweet and said, where can I see this list of consoles or list of developers? Because Retroids is down. And I sent him a different post, and literally like a half an hour later, I got this email in my box. So,
bam.
Thank you, MC, for sending that. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, that's so that's all the emails. I want to this is actually a really tough decision for everybody that that made it. So, I got to say that if I was a consumer going out and had these choices in front of me, I would have a lot of trouble.
We would have no money, that's for sure.
What's
right.
that?
Oh, that's kind of how it works right now though, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much.
We got three major players.
Yeah, if you're going to choose just one, it's really hard to choose just one.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's ironic though, pretty much everyone who picks Shino's console for Nintendo, and Chris, you're not getting a Wii U on day one.
You're right, I'm not. There's no I'm going to get a Wii U, but there's no games on day one that make me want to buy it. You know, I mean,
you're going to be fine for a while.
Yeah. The only game that's on the Wii U that is even remotely interesting is New Super Mario Brothers U.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I just played, Super Mario 3D Land, if I want that experience, I can always just get New Super Mario Brothers 2. So I just, as far as the Wii U goes, I know I'm going to get one eventually. They just don't have anything in the lineup that gets me right now.
They don't have the Zelda yet, the Metroid yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they put out a
launch list, you know, but these are for people that already have, you know, 360 PS3. We have a lot of these games already.
Right.
Yep.
And that's the thing. It's like if all you have is the Wii right now, then the Wii U makes sense because you're going to get a lot of games that you didn't have access to before.
All the people who have the Wii U now and don't have a PS3 or 360 aren't the ones who are going to be buying those games, though.
True. But like when the Wii U gets a Zelda, if the Zelda has traditional controls on that gamepad,
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, that's when I'll buy one.
Actually, I'm not sure it will. That's stupid of me to say. That would be a bet I would not.
Yeah.
I take that back.
Yeah, don't make that bet. That would be a bad one. Because who knows what they're going to bring out just to work with Zelda.
Yeah.
But,
I liked that. I had fun with that. I wish we could have got a little bit deeper into it, but that was a fun question to leave.
It's a really deep topic.
Yeah.
And I think, so hypothetical.
So what do you guys think of looking at the three, which do you guys think would sell the most?
Sell the most?
I honestly think mine would, to be straight up honest, just because it's got Call of Duty and Halo. That's big sellers.
That's a really, really good argument, but it's really hard to argue with Chris's Nintendo numbers.
His Nintendo, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the big one. Between Nintendo and the sales that games like FIFA make, each year, and
yeah, FIFA's pretty huge.
And WoW, Diablo, and StarCraft.
Yep.
You know, it would really, really be hard. It would be neck and neck between ours, I think, Jeff.
It'd be close. Yeah.
It'd be really close. But like, I mean, I like the number that I put that I mentioned before. It's like what I grabbed was I grabbed two numbers. I grabbed basically all the Call of Duties, and then I grabbed all of the games on the Wii that have Mario in the title. And all of the Call of Duties, and that includes Treyarch. So this, all of the Call of Duties, was 136 million worldwide. And all of the Mario games was 111 million, and that's just for the Wii. So,
yeah. There's a lot of games with Mario in the title.
Though. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But, there were, let's see, how many? There were 63 games on the list for Call of Duty, and there were 31 games on the list.
63 Call of Duty.
Yeah. This is all of the Call of Duty. So, like, map pack expansions were in here. Like, Call of Duty for the N-Gage is on this list. Like, there's no numbers next to it, but ones that actually have numbers next to it, there's 39.
That's
and it starts at Call of Duty 2, and then there's like War Collection, World at War, Modern Warfare 3, Defiance for the DS, which is on the list. So,
none of which I would ever buy, though.
Oh, no, of course not. But what I was getting at was just to compare the fact that every Call of Duty game compared to every Mario game on the Wii, you know, they're not that far off. So it would be a really, really tight race, because you would then throw in like Halo, and then Nintendo also has, you know, Zelda. So it's, you know, for every title, it's like for every title that I have, you have one, and vice versa.
I guess the difference would be, though, because most of those Mario games just have legs. Like, as a straight out of the
That's
gate,
true too.
I don't
That's
think it would
too.
Even be a competition. Because, I mean, any Mario game or anything like that doesn't sell the numbers that something like Halo or Call of Duty does on release day or release week.
No, you're right.
It doesn't even
That's
touch it.
That's very true. The all the Mario games sell over
they sell,
the entire...
Yeah,
over
They're
the
in
entire
the top
10
list for the entire year, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They got some legs.
That's true.
But I mean, I don't know. Unistrike's got to bring out Two Human 2 and prove everyone could be good.
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing that's going to sell, if it would sell great on Jason's, is if he could keep the cost down on the system, PopCap would make a killing.
No, well, yeah, for sure.
You know, with all the casual stuff that's out
Dude,
there. That
Rockstar.
Yeah. That's true too.
They've been known to make a couple big sellers. Valve's kind of well known in the
They're
industry.
They're pretty well known, yeah. Rocksteady,
people like
I mean,
their stuff.
They like their Batman.
Hell yeah! I just want to make sure that we keep making good Batman games.
That's right. Yeah. That's the entire.
Honestly,
point, right?
A lot of my picks were emotional ones. It's like
yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I really like their games. So,
all right. So
I made a console that I wanted to. Play.
That you wanted to buy. All right, so I want to. So basically, I just want to do this for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down the list, and for each company on your list, what's the first game that's coming out? Just for the hell of it.
See, I had a deep strategy. I'm like, okay, Valve isn't going to make any games besides Half-Life, and they're just going to handle my online infrastructure. So it's tough. I'm kidding.
Well, so just for
I would
one,
still,
yeah.
I still want them making games. Anyway.
Just for one game, one listener game, or the first, because I didn't actually. So the way I did my strategy was I wanted to wrap up sales first thing. That's why I picked Infinity Ward and 343. But that doesn't. My first, honestly, the first dev on my list that I would pick in a real draft in terms of games I want to play would definitely be Platinum. I think out of my list, not including your list. Obviously.
Well, here's my thought. We're making a launch lineup, and each company on your list is making one game for your launch lineup. What's your game?
I like that. I like that.
I don't actually, because I was going to have some work together.
Then there you go.
That's fine too. You can do that.
I need some time on this.
Nah, just off the cuff.
Okay.
We can't do this into another question of the week, because that's
okay.
Like,
no, we're not
like, hey,
guys,
he's to get lazy.
Well, we are.
What
lazy,
are they
going to
do next week?
That.
Do a mailbag show? That's.
That we are lazy. We just don't want to show it as much. So,
all right,
Jeff, you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Blizzard, you go first.
What up?
Blizzard, World of Warcraft 2.
Oh, that's original.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it's original. I know.
He's making that money, though.
All right.
Jesus
Silicon
Christ.
Silicon Knights, what are you doing with them?
What's that?
Silicon Knights, what are you doing? I was going to ask Jason.
You want to go one
through
at a time?
Whole...
Okay, Jason.
Actually, go through. Actually, don't do one at a time. That'll make it confusing. Just go down your entire list.
Oh, wow. Epic, I want to say Gears of War, but I feel like they should make something else, like maybe Unreal Tournament 4.
Already been made.
Was it? I thought they just did.
Oh,
3.
I guess Unreal Tournament 4 was not made. No, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Nintendo would be Super Mario Brothers 4. Let's make it
just
for real.
Get it out there.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, I want it.
You were just talking about how, like, you know, the Wii version of the new Super Mario Brothers and, like, the Wii U version
That's
are
true.
Kind of interchangeable.
I was. You're right. You got me on that one. But I would still make Super Mario Brothers 4. Okay. EA Sports, I'm going to be honest with you. I would probably want them to make a new SSX game to go along with it, another SSX game.
There goes your sales.
I know. There goes
they
the sales
for
EA. Konami would need to make another a brilliant 2D Castlevania for me. Mm-hmm. Level 5, I would want Rogue Galaxy 2.
I'd be all over that.
Criterion, I want a... I think Burnout Paradise was great.
You want a Black 2?
I didn't really play a whole lot of Black, so... I seriously want them to go back to what Burnout was when it was on PS2 and Xbox.
Yeah.
So I want straight up Burnout 4.
Alright.
So Burnout 3 was the last one, right? Burnout 3 Takedown?
Yeah, Takedown's the last numbered one. Then there's Revenge, and then Paradise City.
Sucker Punch. I want a new IP from Sucker Punch. I don't know what it would be, but I would like a new IP from them. Because Infamous has done three games technically, and they're making a new Sly right now, so you know, I would ask for a new IP from them.
Gotcha.
I feel you.
Jason.
All right, so I would, you know, kind of dissolve Silicon Knights and take some of their IPs and distribute them equally. I would love to see, like, a new Kane from maybe Rocksteady. Yeah, Popcat too human. I don't think we need to go back to the too human thing. I think we can kind of let that one die. But, yeah, they do have some good IPs, but it's also a little vengeful of me, I guess. So, yeah, PopCap, I want to just kind of coordinate with the rest of the crew and make casual fun games based on existing IPs. Gearbox, hey, keep doing what you're doing. Same thing with Rockstar, Capcom. You have some amazing IPs as well. Basically, everyone over there is kind of fired too.
You
have some great IPs, but Jesus Christ, you've been dropping the ball for so long.
I
want to
see a 2D Street Fighter V come from your Capcom.
It would happen.
Like super high def.
Sure.
Like hand drawn sprites would be awesome.
That would be sexy. Valve, I've already talked about amazing IPs, amazing networking infrastructure. You could just build my platform, Valve. Do it. Rocksteady and Insomniac, keep doing what you're doing, but with maybe different IPs as well. So.
Gotcha.
Cool. Can I change one of mine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. Blizzard.
I would actually say do World of StarCraft.
Because I want World of StarCraft.
I want some sci-fi in there.
Gotcha. That could be really cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Infinity Ward, the only reason I drafted them is just to get me sales, so keep doing your Call of Duty thing. 343, keep doing your Halo thing. Platinum, they surprise me with everything. I mean, my most anticipated game for next year is Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah.
So I don't want necessarily a sequel to anything they've done before, just they can get a new IP out there as long
as
it's action-packed. It's
going
to be awesome. Yeah. Sony Santa Monica, let's be honest, the only reason I really took them was for
God of War. Yeah.
Bethesda, it's going to be a non-buggy version of a game that will work, even though it's exclusive to my console. If it did come to other consoles, it would work on every other console, no matter what.
That's asking a lot, Jeff. That's asking
a
lot.
Yeah, it is. So if you had to fire one studio, essentially, in order to make Bethesda shit work...
Yeah.
Who do you think you'd kill?
Like one studio, like...
Yeah, like with Silicon Knights, like I'm killing the studio, essentially. But
yeah,
I'm taking
exactly.
their IPs,
yeah.
right? And transferring them somewhere else.
Yeah.
So if you would take... essentially, maybe you're killing the development team at Bethesda and having somebody else work on it.
Yeah, I'd definitely keep, I definitely keep What's His Face because I think the
Face is amazing.
Yeah, you know what's the best developer that dude. Ever? the fucking creator, like the main dude there.
That dude. Yeah. So you would keep some of the design people essentially.
Yeah, design. I would keep the design people. I actually don't think. I mean, like no one makes games like
not
theirs,
the entire.
And they're huge, and I know it's unrealistic to actually think that a game would not be glitchy or buggy from them. But yeah, I'd hire superhuman. Developers to make that shit.
They make amazing games and concepts.
The guy's name? Oh my god, Ken Levine's from 2K Irrational, but who the fuck is the guy from Bethesda? This is really gonna bug me now.
That's right. Let's move
People on. Are screaming right now into their, through their mm-hmm. fucking phones.
We have that happen a lot.
Yeah, Irrational. They can keep doing their whole. They can do whatever they want. Actually, they make great games. Naughty Dog. I want to see. I don't want them to continue the Uncharted series. I want them to do something more different. And actually, I was going to go along the sides of Chris's idea with the whole sci-fi thing. I'd like to see them do like a sci-fi type story with the way that they do Uncharted. I think that'd be fucking awesome. And Arc System Works, I really don't care as long as it's a good fighting game. That's hand-drawn sprites.
There you go.
Yeah, they can lend their 2D
to stuff to the Capcom.
Anything to any game.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy
with
that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they did.
I mean, Arc System Works
awesome.
Fallout game? Sure.
That would,
let's
yeah, sure. Why not?
I need Arc System Works. Right? Hey, can I rent them?
to make yeah, can
new,
you rent them?
To make
yeah,
the next Castlevania
totally.
Game?
we'll talk about numbers and stuff after the show, but yeah, it might be doable.
All right, cool.
We should get together and make a super console.
We should.
Let's
I think
go.
we can probably churn
future.
One out in a couple months.
After after you make sure you get the license for that after you fire before you fire Dennis Dyack.
Right, right.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
So join us
on.
Next week when we actually draft actual games that have been released from the beginning of time.
That's our next
now.
Question of the week. So no,
we're
I'm
set
really
for
kidding.
The month.
I'm really just kidding.
Yeah. But only kinda.
All right. Should we move on to new releases?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, so obviously the biggest release for this week, it's going to be a Wii U game, the first one ever, and it's ESPN Sports Connection.
Yes!
Yes, nothing says launch title like some sort of a crappy minigame sporty collection game. So yes, you can stare at this box for a couple of weeks until the Wii U actually comes out, or you can be a sane person and just ignore it completely. Okay, so moving on to real games people might actually want to buy. There's the Call of Duties, whatever something, coming out for PS3 and 360, and there's also some sort of Vita version, which is somehow different, but I don't know. There's another Lego game coming out. It's Lego Lord of the Rings. This is for PS3 and Wii, and apparently it's got some sort of open worldy thing to it. Seems a little bit late to get on the Lord of the Rings train, but there you go. The PS3 is still trying to make Move relevant by releasing Wonder Book. Okay.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Is that really coming out? Oh, crap.
Someone's
yeah,
going to want to play it. Yeah, you can wave shit around. And obviously to counter this, Microsoft has to keep their quotient of shitty Kinect games up. It's Power Rangers Super Samurai, which I'm sure is going to be absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Bet you aces, bud.
And finally on the console retail front, we have Assassin's Creed Ezio's Trilogy. Because, yeah, let's release this a couple weeks after number 3, because everyone's going to be right on that Assassin's Creed train. Yeah.
That's kind of
three. Yes, we're getting a good game this week. It's Paper Mario Sticker Star. So this is back to the RPG roots Paper Mario, and it looks pretty damn fantastic. And rather unexpectedly, for the PC, we're getting Magical Drop 5, which is, I guess, the first new Magical Drop game in, quite a while, really.
Yeah, no kidding.
And once again, download servers seem to be kind of stingy on telling people what the hell is coming out. Although last week for the 360, Karateka came out, which is one of Jordan Mechner's original... Was it his first game? One of his early games, anyway.
Wow.
Which the remake actually looks pretty cool, so it might be worth checking out. Apparently it's going to come to the PS3 at some point, so maybe we'll see that this week. Who knows? Yeah, that'll pretty much do it.
Cool. Thank you, Repeat.
Someone needs to buy a Wonder Book, out of you guys. I mean, Chris, you have kids.
I'm actually planning on doing a video at work on that.
That's good enough.
Lisa in it.
That's good enough. Yeah.
Because I think Lisa would do that game justice.
Yeah, I seriously want someone to play that game and talk about it on the show.
Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Comes out on Tuesday. You got that on. You got that for IndieStream, right?
So ready.
I was gonna fill in gaps, but there's not much to fill in that's worth mentioning. F1 Race Stars, Tropico 4 Gold Edition. Let's see here. That's for 360.
I thought you said you weren't going to fill in the gaps.
Well, I'm trying to find things that are worth it. Scribblenauts Unlimited is hitting PC next
really
week.
Really good, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Very cool. Rift Storm Legion is next week. The Wii U is also getting Madden next week, even though there's no system to play it on. Hmm. And then 3DS is also getting Rabbids Rumble and Monster Shooter for the eShop. And then Vita is getting Call of Duty Black Ops Declassified.
That's going to be, I'm calling it right now, like, I don't know if you guys have played it or if Jason's played it, but I have a feeling that's going to get ripped apart.
It will. It's not, it's going to get destroyed. It's going to get destroyed.
Such a missed opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Sony is not being run very well right now. Just saying.
I haven't seen much on it. I hear the Need for Speed game, actually, is
pretty
good.
Yeah, I heard that's actually
good. Yeah.
Me too.
I've heard that, too.
Because Criterion actually made that. They didn't farm it out to some
to some developer that has
a history of
has since
games.
Gone away.
Yeah,
but that is your new release list. So pick of the week.
I'll go. I spent a little time with Paper Mario Sticker Star. Really good.
That was my pick too. That's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, I'm probably not gonna realistically get anything next week, but I. Yeah, sure, why not go with Mario?
Oh my god, Call of Duties!
You know what? I actually think Black Ops 2 looks good, but, I mean, I haven't bought up Call of Duty games since Modern Warfare 2. This is the first one that's been like, eh, this actually looks kind of cool, but I highly doubt I'll get it this week. But people will. It's going to be very popular.
So. Hell
that's
yeah,
true.
They will.
That's true. Yeah. All right, let's do some emails.
Sure.
Cool.
Jason, what
should I start?
Go for it.
I can finally read that one from Jake.
That's right.
Yay!
He says, I don't know if you've covered this in news, but with the news of Tatsunoko versus Capcom no longer being sold and Silicon Knights having to destroy all games that were developed using Unreal Engine 3, I quickly took to my local gaming store and bought both TVC and X-Men Destiny. I'm so sorry, dude. Oh, my God.
Did you not watch the indie stream?
Oh, fuck that game. So I was wondering, has anything in the news ever made you buy a game or even throw out a copy of a game you already own? Thanks, guys. Keep up the original awesomeness, or the general awesomeness, Jake Ray.
Thanks, Jake.
I cannot think of a time when I thought, when I went and got something because of something that was on the news, or that was in the news, I should say.
Go ahead, Jason.
It usually comes down to, like, if a new game is coming out in a series, I'll usually go out and pick up the, you know, the previous iterations and maybe play them, but...
Yeah, I've done that before, yeah.
Yeah, I can't... Certainly not in these cases have I been like, oh, God, Silicon Knights has to get rid of all their old shitty games? I should go pick those up.
Well, it'd be different if it was, like, early, like, I remember... There was that game for Xbox, that fighting game. It was terrible. Like, Kokoto Cho-chan, or sorry, I can't remember what the hell it was called. It was like some, like, it was some first-party fighting game. It was kind of trying to be like Mortal Kombat. It was terrible. But they recalled the game, like, literally, like, 2 weeks after release or something like that.
Okay.
Because there's some reference to some religion in there that was, like, everyone that religion found offensive. So they basically just recalled them all. And that was, like, one of the first times I was, like, considering buying it, because I worked at EB at the time, because I was like, well, maybe this is going to be rare and be worth something, but yeah, it's not at all.
Interesting.
Yeah,
and I guess maybe there have been a couple. Do you remember when the Guy game?
Yes. Oh, my God. I did. Yeah. Yep,
there was apparently somebody who lied about their age. They were 17 or something and showed their boobs. So yeah, that game had to be recalled. And I guess I considered picking it up, but
I did have that, actually.
Another situation was there was an old Tiger Woods game, and hidden on the disc like a South Park episode, The Spirit of Christmas, you know, like their pilot, essentially, you know, the very first, like, South Park episode. Was hidden on the disc. If you put it in a PC, you could watch it. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the porn. There's also some porn.
Oh, really?
That wasn't more of like a thing. It was just somebody. I think it came on a Madden disc, and something. I was just like pressed wrong or something, and the kid went to play it, and it was like, or they couldn't play it. So they did something with the computer, and it was actually porn on it. It was like a one-time thing. It wasn't like it was like on the actual disc, but yeah.
So you're like, oh shit, I hope I can get some porn. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go buy some used games.
I did buy...
But this was on the official disc.
You guys remember, what was it? BM Triple X?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Dave Mira.
Sucked.
It did suck.
Yeah, it was terrible. It had boobs on it, though.
It did have
boobs. Yeah, Kakutu Chojin was the game.
Sure it was.
So bad. Terrible. I did buy Persona 3, actually, because I remember reading in the news that it was actually really rare, and it was going for like a lot of money on eBay. And stuff, and then a new EB opened up across the street from my old place, and I'm sure I've told the story before, but they had it brand new copies of it for like, I don't know, like $30 for PS2, so I bought one and kept it wrapped and everything like that because it was actually worth something. But literally a month after they announced Persona 3 Fez, so I kind of just ruined all that. But
oops,
not that I was.
There's
not
a
that
lot
sell
of
it
yeah anyway. Persona 3 and 4 releases lately.
Yeah.
Golden is getting a lot of hype.
It is, yeah, big time.
A lot of hype.
Big time.
The same. Should we move on?
Let's do it.
Sure.
I'm not sure who this is from, but I'm going to read it anyway.
Okay.
It says, hey guys, I have a question I've been wondering about and would like to hear your thoughts on. Earlier this year, Microsoft introduced a subsidized console with a contract.
Uh-huh.
Though not much game of it has... Wait.
Not much
game Though of not it. Much game of it...
I'm sure it's
lead me it. To think of an interesting question. Oh boy. Would you buy a subsidized console at launch if it had no disk drive? Say the PS4 came out at $500, a random number.
not for Sony. It's not. That's pretty accurate.
And Sony offered a SKU that had no disk drive but a bigger hard drive at $200. The way they would recoup costs is forcing you to buy games and movies exclusively off of PSN. Sony has recently made this more probable by having their Day One Digital initiative. Would this be a smart move for Sony to get a huge market share at launch, or technically improbable because of the growing constraints on bandwidth? Thanks for reading, and thanks for the show. P.S. Jeff, eat a dick.
Oh, it's oats. Totally oats.
Yep.
I would try to, but you eat everyone that's around, so...
Stop gobbling all the cocks.
Exactly. Stop chugging all the cocks and leave some for other people.
We actually did a feature on this.
We did,
recently,
actually. Yeah.
And I think that as far as like the one thing that we said about it was like the whole subsidized console thing. Jeff and I were kind of in the same camp, and we thought that we were going to be in an unusual camp.
But
we liked the idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, both of us understand – basically because of our understanding of the loan industry.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't talk about like the idea of it being a digital only type deal. But with what he said, with the basically forcing you to buy games and movies off of PSN, it sounds to me like that would remove the contract part of it. You know, instead of having a contract of having to buy Xbox Live for 2 years at $14.99, instead you are forced into buying stuff off of PSN. I would probably not buy that console.
No, because
I don't like being forced into that kind of thing. I don't like being, I like being able to choose where I get stuff. I like the fact that I can go and buy physical media on sale anytime. You know, I like the idea that I can do things like that, and I have a choice of where to buy stuff. And with this, it sounds like with this scenario, Oats is not giving me that choice, which means I would probably skip it.
It's not the choice thing is an issue. Mine was the issue that with the bandwidth concerns. Like we have a bandwidth cap here.
Oh, do you?
And this is actually we actually went over it as of yesterday. I have no idea how, but so if I had to download all my games like that are there to get pretty big, like some Steam games are like over 10 gigs.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. No doubt.
Nice Soul Republic, that went free to play. Oh, God, that's... Oh, my God. Sorry. I'm... Holy shit. I'm just watching. I have to explain what I just saw, but... Okay, they're doing the CFL playoffs right now, and Toronto was playing the Eskimos at Edmonton, and they just showed a replay of a guy who got, like, tackled, and they show him, like... grabbing his leg, and literally his foot was facing the wrong way.
Oh no!
It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, those are always rough to watch.
Holy
shit. Those are always rough to watch.
Yeah, ouch. Well, God, it was... And then why do they keep showing it? Okay.
Because that's what people want to see. They actually showed a... recently, I was watching a news interview of a dude named Willis McGahee. He's a running back. And he had an incident when he was in college where basically his entire leg... from like the knee down came separated from his the rest of his leg.
That's exactly what this
and
was.
Just pretty much was flopping around.
God. Yeah, that's
and
exactly
then
what
this it showed. Oh. Another dude from a college that had the same thing happen, and they asked him if he watched it. He's like, no, I don't need to see that. I really don't need to see it. I lived it. I don't need to see it. But yeah, I the only thing that I've ever seen like that is like I was watching a game once and a receiver went up to catch a ball and another guy hit his helmet right on the lower part of his leg and you can pretty much see the lower part of his leg bend because he actually broke the bone in the lower part of his leg. It was
gross.
Pretty brutal.
So anyway, Knights of the Old Republic or Old Republic is like 25 gigs to download.
Yeah, yeah,
and big. That is insane. Like I would not be able to just like yeah. Mm-hmm. Unless my cap was raised or gotten rid of.
Right. Oh, yeah, the infrastructure is just not there. U.S. and Canada,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Both.
I didn't realize that you...
Well, what if it
I
was?
Forgot that you guys were capped.
Yeah.
So this podcast
what if it
is
wasn't
costing
an issue?
Money.
Yeah, basically. It shouldn't be too much, though, but yeah. I honestly... I have a theory that someone was actually stealing internet from us, because yesterday... We barely even touched the internet, and somehow we used 4 gigs. And I was like, "That's
Someone's messing. Someone's on your wireless.
Yeah, because we have a password and everything. But I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if someone somehow did something. But
you know what you can do? Go into your router, and you can actually make it so that only specific IP addresses or specific MAC addresses can use it. So just specify, find the MAC address for all your devices, and just make it so only those MAC addresses can use your internet.
All right, because I know how to do that.
I can tell you how to do that. You can do it offline. It's real easy.
Sweet. But yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, that would suck. Yeah. Well, if you didn't have, like Jason asked while we were talking, if you didn't have that cap, what would you have?
I would still probably not, I like the idea of digital because I like the idea of just starting up your console and being able to pick from everything. Like actually, as stupid as it sounds, like, yeah, I can get up and get my disc and put it in. But something is really cool about when you go on Steam or something, you have all your games there.
Yeah.
You just
select
one.
Or if you pull
up
your PSN or XBLA list.
Yeah, exactly.
You just grab it right away.
Yeah. Like, there's so many times I do that where I pull up my all games list and just be like, oh, shit, okay, whatever. And I love that aspect of it. But like you said, like sales and deals and stuff like that probably wouldn't happen that frequently.
Right.
On the Unistrike console, I've got Val, so we're going to be having
$2.99
Unistriker sales every fucking day.
The one thing I would say is that if I could still go to the store and buy codes, like download
codes, yeah.
Then I would consider it. Because those
if
you can see go on sale.
Prices. Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So
Steam does a great job of making that enticing. I love physical media too. It's just to a certain degree. I love like Chris said having that choice. But if you look at like PSN and 360, like their digital stuff, the deals are few and far between.
Yes.
Yeah. If they did it like Steam does, dude.
But
especially
if they did
it
like Steam,
Steam is is ridiculous with their deals, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're ridiculous.
I wonder how they do that. I wonder how they can get away with that on Steam. I'm guessing because
they're
maybe
not
just
greedy motherfuckers.
I think it's because PC sales are so minute in retailers that retailers don't really care. And because if they start doing that with PS3 and 360 games, retailers start getting pissed off because they're like, "Hey, well,
that's true.
Us.
That might be part of it. That might be part of it."
There's not. I don't see why not because it's still the developers are just not. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, seeing as though they count for X amount of sales, a large percentage. You know, if we started undercutting Walmart, Walmart would be like, oh, fuck you guys. I'm not going to carry your stuff anymore. Yeah, it's like, oh, but you guys sell a lot. Oh, stop. I'm sorry.
Toys R Us literally just cleared out their entire PC thing like a few weeks ago. I don't know if you guys saw that. They're selling all their PC games for $9.99, I think it was, or like $19.99. And this includes like brand new games. Like there was a PC game like literally just released like a week before they did this. So you can get like Skyrim, like Diablo 3, Battlefield, like all these games for like $9.99. They just want to clear out their PC stock.
Let's go.
Physical stuff. So yeah,
I'm in.
Pretty nuts.
Cool.
Yeah, I like a low price point. Low cost of entry. I also hate getting fucked in the ass, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So. So I don't know how well I'd be on that model.
The
subsidized console stuff, yeah.
I would totally do it because, I mean, unless it's a console I didn't think I would keep for more than like 3 years. Mm-hmm. The way we talked about it on the feature was Chris and I were just like, it'd be like the cell phone model, like the usual contracts, but right. 3 years, something like that. I know I'm going to own a console for more than 3 years, so I'd probably do that instead of spending like $500 on a console, spend like $100, $150, because I know I'm going to go through that. But
No disrespect to people that like getting fucked in the ass. It's just not like that.
Hey, you have a cell phone, right?
That's true.
You're getting fucked in the ass.
Gently.
And they're at least
plenty
using
of lube
I don't
on
know.
That one.
I get plenty of lube. I have no cap. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. I do. 95 gigs, man. Who goes through 95 gigs in a month?
Someone that is stealing your internet?
Yeah, I really think so.
Anyway. It sounds like it. It sounds like that's what's happening. Hey, you know what?
I think I'm out of emails.
I have some voicemails, though.
Do you really?
I do. You want to hear them?
Play them. Like actual voices?
Yeah, voices.
Sweet. I like
hearing them. Hey, this is your good friend, Navasine. Brian Jensen.
Whoa.
You know, that guy. I'm doing something incredibly stupid right now, just because I thought, hey, it'll be funny, and I'm laughing
talking
my ass off
because
I'm doing it right now. So right now it is 11:41. It is Monday, and Halo 4 releases in about a few minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So, earlier today I went to GameStop. I was like, fuck it, I was just going to pre-order this stupid game. Not Halo, I don't care about the game. But it looks fucking amazing, I will say that. But, I pre-ordered this game. And they were saying, oh, you can pick it up at midnight tonight. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, that's kind of stupid, right? Go outside and just be in front of like, a bunch of fucking Halo heads and just be like, hey, I came here to get, well, I'm getting fucking Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z HD collection. I can't play 8 years ago. So I'm rebuying again just to play it in somewhat HD. And I'm getting it at midnight because I'm here because I thought it was fucking funny. And I think it's fucking funny. It's stupid. I don't want to be the guy going up to GameStop like, here you go, Halo 4, Halo 4, Halo 4. Hey, you're
nope.
Halo 4, right? You want the extra good, extra
man, edition? Man, motherfucker.
Or the Super Tampon edition. Like, no, I don't want any of that. I want Dragon Ball Z. Like, really? Yeah, I'm here for Dragon Ball Z. But the Halo head will come to me, yo, you know what, man? She shot that gun in the fucking head. Go, awesome. Like, yeah, you know what, Goku's going to come out and
wow.
It was the dumbest shit I've probably ever done. But it's funny, so I'm going to keep doing it. There's a playful Master Chief out here. Holy shit, that's really dumb. Okay, I'm going to get out of here. Not a playful Master Chief, like a guy wearing a playful suit, but like an inflatable outfit in the picture. But yeah, this is really stupid what I'm doing. But yeah, I'm having fun. This is great. I'm going to be in line for like 2 hours for no reason. It won't be 2 hours, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean. Anyway, 3 minutes are up. Alright, peace guys, love you. I'm stupid.
Love you, Navasine.
He has so much fucking energy.
Oh, yeah, that made me happy.
So, by the way, we got a follow up too.
Sweet.
Oh, nice. What
the fuck?
What? What the fuck is happening?
That was funny. And cold. And I got free pizza. So it was worth it.
Hey.
A little entertainment.
Hercules.
I'm so sad. But I enjoyed it. It was fun. I'm Peter Cove. I'm going to bed.
What the hell just happened?
Hercules.
He was getting really excited about having, you know, about having Dragon Ball Z at midnight.
That
was
that Budokai remaster. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's cool, man.
Thank you, Navasine, for the laugh. I appreciate that.
Can't believe it was 8 years ago. I actually worked at EB when that game came out.
Oh my god.
That sold quite a lot of people bought that game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Halo. Dragon Ball Z was really popular then too, so.
Yep.
All right, cool. So should we move on?
Sure.
Hey, we're skipping question of the week. Okay. We're going to bring Glenn on, try and bring Glenn on and do another four-man show. So if you guys have any emails that you want to send in to us, please do so. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. If you want to get us a voicemail, that is 706-760-4337.
4337?
4337.
You know what LEET is? It's 1337,
I know.
Right?
We don't have 1337.
That's totally LEET.
Yeah.
But it's not.
The Irrational Passions has that because they thought it was cool. I should start using our other one that's like...
They steal our name and then our number. Dicks.
Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, and Steam. We are Interactive Distractions. FaceBez? What?
FaceBase.
FaceBase. Okay, there you go. Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
It's not actually all one word. It's two words.
Yeah.
I might need to modify that part of it.
This is rough. Yeah. Okay.
And that is about it. If you want to send a voicemail, you can also send it, send an MP3 to our email address. You can also do it via Google Talk, which is interactivedistractions@gmail.com.
That's all one word. Hey, you guys should also check us out on AOL, keyword Indus. Maybe you can find
us on
the Zune Marketplace as well. You can check out our website via the Netscape Navigator.
And if you want to contact us on a messenger service, you can use... Oh, fuck. I can't remember what it's called.
We have a BBS that you could dial into.
Yeah.
What was that thing called? Yeah.
We can download, our podcast off the BBS in multi-part RAR format.
Multi-part RAR format.
This is going to bug me.
Oh, my God. We are so fucking old.
Seriously, what was that thing called?
Come on, help Shout me out guys. To all my Usenet peeps.
What was that called? Come on. Someone's
okay, so we're not talking about Zune Marketplace anymore, right?
No.
We don't know that because it doesn't exist. Know.
Well, Jason, What's you that? Have a Zune, so if you don't want to talk about it
I
anymore,
do have a Zune. Okay.
Come on, seriously, guys. What was that messenger service called? This is going to bug the hell out of me.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude.
Every time you got a message, it's like,
ICQ.
That's it. Oh, ICQ. Okay, thank you. Okay. Yes.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, I'm going to just give a little update about the Indus app. It is still happening. I just want to let you guys know. I'm actually almost ready to send out the release candidate to the beta testers. I've got one little detail that I have to work out, and then after that I'm going to send it out to them. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'm going to do a public open beta, and then once anybody who wants the app for Android gets a hold of it and plays with it a little bit, I'm going to put it out on the market. So cool. That's the plan. It's looking pretty good. I got some extra stuff in there. One of them, a suggestion from Repeat, where you can actually record and send, a voicemail.
Voicemails.
Straight
like
from
That's a
the
really
app,
good
which
idea.
Is really, really yeah. cool. Especially for people like, Fluffy, who probably spends God knows how much money calling us on a week to week basis. So hopefully he'll be able to use this app. And
also for serious people out there who work with iOS stuff, we can't pay you, but if you want to do like a little like conversion or something, that would be pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Or if anybody knows,
it's a straight one to one, right? It's just bits and bytes, right?
Yeah. That's
the same deal.
If there's somebody out there that knows packets. Of a way that you can develop on iOS without a Mac and without actually paying them the $100 yeah. bucks until you stick it out on iOS. Or
actually,
on
I
iTunes.
Might actually know somebody who would do it for us. So
I mean, that would be cool because I'd like to get it out there on iOS, but I'm not going to go out and buy a Mac for it. That's for sure.
No, God, no.
You can buy us a Mac. We'll deal with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, actually, if you guys want to buy me a Mac and send it to me, I will develop this app for iOS. I promise. I will do it. But that's all I've got. So if you guys don't have anything else.
No?
No.
Good.
I'm just super happy to be back, and I love recording with you guys.
Yay.
And I'm a little drunk.
Nice.
And I'm holding my penis. I'm pinching it
He's
because I really
pee.
Have to pee.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. We'd appreciate that.
Or Zune Marketplace.
So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.
www.aol.com/members/Indus
Check our GeoCities webpage.
GeoCities, right. That's what
GeoCities,
I was
Angel Fire.
Angel Fire.
Oh, Angel Fire. Oh, my God.
Check us out on Angel Fire.
Just go to infoseek.com and type in our name.